When I list on a website like a LoopNet, I list it, and then eventually I sell it, and it's done. And that's it. Like, yeah, I can do an email blast. I can do an email blast without your stupid little plugin.
Hey everyone, it's Andrew Bermudez, co-founder and CEO of Digzy, the commercial real estate search and marketing engine. If you've got commercial real estate listings or are looking for commercial real estate, go to getdigzy.com. I'm joined by my amazing co-host. He just got done eating not one, but two breakfast burritos from Costco in Rochester, Minnesota. Bucky Beeman, tell us how you do that.
Like, what's that horn that DJs always play? Where like, no, I had cereal this morning. No breakfast burrito for me. It was good. What's happening, Andrew? Nice to see you. Thank you for your kind intro. You're always so thoughtful in everything you do.
Yeah, I just look out for nutrition, man. I go worry about Bucky Beeman.
Yeah.
So, Dan, what were you going to say?
Let's go. So it's my turn to take the lead on the topic today.
Yes, it is. And I'm going to be on the sidelines because we don't want to, you know, necessarily be somewhere where we're talking about. Anyway, people will tell what we're talking about here.
Let's go. So listing services. I want to talk about listing services because it is a big factor in our business. I remember getting into business. My competitive advantage I had was bringing our listings at our firm onto the internet when they never had existed on there. And then now just continually using the listing services to bring exposure, to bring attention to our listings, to generate leads, to find data, to use it as a marketing tool. And I just wanted to dive into the listing services. And obviously we have a creator of one right here on the show. And so that's why I get to take the lead and kind of share about my experiences with the different listing services. The big one in the room is LoopNet and CoStar, and we'll just start with all positive. So what I like about LoopNet is it does still to this day generate leads. There's no doubt. I had a lead come in this morning on a brand new listing. I had a lead from that same listing come in last night. Both are people I've not chatted with before, and they somehow found it on the listing service. I think that they're finding it not by just searching consistently. I think that is one factor, but I think it's the premier searches they have set up, the saved searches that sends them an email that says there's a new listing in a market you're interested in. And so that's how I think they're finding it. And that generates to an inquiry. And then that inquiry in this example leads to a confidentiality agreement. Then we're down the road of trying to get them to buy it. So that's a positive. Leads still come in on LoopNet. There's no doubt about it. Another thing that's a positive on LoopNet is I like their ability to upload videos. I'm using that function more. They did that early on, and I remember I used that really early, and there was a time when I was showing properties, someone had said, you're that guy on LoopNet with all the videos. And so I think LoopNet in recognizing video is the way of the future, is important to note, and it's good that they're using that. Another positive, just for me, like how I use LoopNet is I go onto the app, and it's a mobile app, and it's free. You have to pay to get all the searches at your fingertips, but all the properties, I should say. But I do send links from my mobile phone when someone texts me and is like, hey, what's the info on that property? I'll admit my website is not the best in the world. And LoopNet has just been true to having that mobile platform for a long time. And I've used that very quickly in sharing links and they get the details on the property. We're starting with all positives, Andrew.
Yeah. I'm interested knowing the positives and negatives and like the things that you wish like you had. Cause I mean, that's knowledge for us, right? To know kind of, you know, what's missing out there.
Oh, for sure. Let's jump to another listing service. So Crexy is newer, from my experience. And I personally am not like a power user of Crexy. I don't subscribe. I know they've tried to sell me. It's just another service for me to really try to work on, and I got enough going on that it's tough to manage it. So what I do believe happens is our office admin will get them our listing sheets, and then from there they'll take it and push it, but it's not like I'm doing a lot of work in there. Now, because I'm not a premium subscriber, I don't get leads from Crexy. And I think in order to get leads, you have to like subscribe and then message people within there. And I just, I'll be honest, I don't see any leads from Craigseek, but I do think it brings exposure. This morning I was parking, saw a guy I knew. I said, hey, we listed this new property. It's 62 unit multifamily property with a high price point, $6 million. And he goes, yeah, I think I saw it on Craigseek. So consumers are using Craigseek to find properties. I think that's the positive they have, is they found a way to somehow get the consumer's attention online. I don't know if it's through the search engine or if it's through, again, getting people to subscribe to searches or whatever the case may be. But Craigseek is another one. I don't have much to say about Craigseek just because I'm not a power user of it. I do see it starting to pop more and more. In our market, there's a lot of residential agents, and the residential agents have always used the MLS from when it was in a book all the way to it coming online, to now it recognizes not only our submarket, as I'll call it, Rochester, Minnesota, home of 130,000 people, it recognizes Minneapolis. There was a merger of the Southeast Minnesota Association of Realtors and the North Star Association of Realtors. They merged together and said, we're going to put all of our data in one MLS. And they were using a platform called Flex MLS. When they merged with North Star, we moved over to North Star MLS, I believe is what it's called. And so the nice thing is, it's my routine, morning or evening, I'll click on new listings in commercial, and I can see basically most of our state because it's now recognized in there. And a lot of commercial real estate agents in our neck of the woods is not using that listing service. One, because it's not cheap. Two, because a majority of it is geared towards residential agents. And so the positives I would say with it is it's been a good tool for us to bring exposure to all these other licensed agents that potentially have buyers. And we sold deals off of that because it never fails that someone that doesn't focus in commercial just so happens to know someone in business, just so happens to sell them a house. And the most powerful thing I think with that search engine, as we'll call it, listing service, is that you are just getting exposure to all these other real estate agents. I don't think we get a lot of consumer traffic from it, because the listings themselves don't become available very easily on websites that are designed mainly for residential. It's kind of like a back end of a website. You got to dig for it. And then you find these commercial listings on a residential agent's website if they're using what's called an IDX feed, feeding the listings from the MLS to their website. Another positive I like about it just in my business is I do sell multifamily. I do sell single family rentals. And so with this MLS service, I'm able to keep tabs on what's going on in that area of my business. And it has led to deals. All my forms are on the MLS. I love that. Like I go in and there's a tab that you click on forms. It leads you to a tool called Transaction Desk. I do all my contracts in there, my confidentiality agreements. It's like DocuSign, if you will, but Transaction Desk, you're sending it to get digital signatures. So I love that. It also has a tab for taxes, which I love because I get the county's tax information at my fingertips without having to log into another source. So as far as all the databases, listing services, that one I probably spend the most time in because it provides the most value to me as an agent. Moving past that, we got Digzee. I personally am not a power user of Digzee. Reason being because I'm not good at managing my listings. So if our office admin does not recognize the listing platform as something she's continually delivering information to, it just does not pop up for a tool that I use. And Andrew's here to tell you why you should use Digzee, and he can tell you more about all the functions that they have. Go for it.
Before we get started on my end, can we go back a little bit? I have a few questions. So you were mentioning you spend a lot of time on the standard residential MLS that has commercial listings. And then you mentioned LoopNet and you mentioned Craigseek. You did mention CoStar a little bit. Are you using CoStar?
No, I'm not. I don't pay for that service. It's too expensive for my pocketbook.
Okay. And are you listing on LoopNet just for free then?
No, we pay for X amount of listings, and it's gone down every single year just because of the cost.
Oh, so you're only listing a few listings on there?
Let's call it 15 to 20. Yep.
15 to 20 out of how many?
45 to 50.
So about 50%, 40% you're listing on there. What about on Crexy? Is it everything that you're listing on there?
Crexy would be yes if she's feeding the information to Crexy.
Got it.
Couldn't tell you personally. As an agent, I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, because you're just not dealing with it.
Right.
And then can you break down, so when you're looking for property for your, like, let's say when you're doing a tenant rep deal or a buyer rep deal, where are you going to find the information?
I would say in our small market, a majority, and I miss one listing service, but a majority of the brokers in the community list on LoopNet. So okay. I go to LoopNet and that's where I find their listings.
Okay.
And
but you're not
fortunate. The market's not too big to where, yeah, I have a good inventory up in my mind, but it never fails. There's always one new one or something new that I just happen to miss.
Got it. Okay. So you're using that to search, but you probably know your own inventory. So in case people don't know, how many people are in your market and how big is it? I know the Mayo Clinic is like a big, big deal where you're at.
Yeah. Agent wise, and this is a complete guess, but I would say commercial agent focused is probably 20.
20 agents?
Yeah. 20.
Okay. Yeah. So it's small.
It's very small. Yep. And, you know, residential wise, and I'll be way off on this number, but it's probably 300. I mean, 400. I don't know. It's in the hundreds for sure. I just don't know the exact number.
And just so the audience know, it's Rochester, Minnesota, where we're based out of. Yeah.
Yeah.
And what's awesome about this is Bucky's in Rochester, Minnesota, but everybody in commercial real estate knows Bucky, which is amazing. Dude, you're great at marketing.
The internet. That's it.
Okay. So going back to, so you go search on LoopNet, then Crexy, you're not really touching, but then you mentioned the MLS, right? And you're looking for a commercial. Like, yep, if you were to do like a spread of, so are you spending, when you're searching for property, you're spending most of your time on LoopNet. Are you also spending, like, what percent of your time are you spending on the MLS?
It's probably 75 MLS, 25 LoopNet.
Okay, so you're really focused on the MLS there because it's such a small community that, you know, residential agents are bound to have commercial listings, so you're going into that MLS.
And I would say, and part of it's where I'm at right now with a few customers, but my MLS awareness is needed for a few of my customers that are right now flipping a lot of properties, buying apartments. Residential agents tend to get those listings in our neck of the woods, and so they're not popping up on LoopNet. I found one yesterday. It was a multifamily that popped up, not as multifamily, because in the MLS rules, it has to be under four or under to be a multifamily. Popped up in commercial, you know, and it's buried in all these other listings, and I'm like, ooh, what's this one? So that's probably part of the reason I'm spending a lot of time there is because of the clients I'm working with currently.
And what percentage of your inbound business would you say, which one was the other one that you missed? By the way, you didn't mention the MLS that you missed.
So MNCAR is the Minnesota Commercial Association of Realtors. They, I don't know when, decided they didn't want to subscribe to the North Star MLS, and they started their own search engine club, whatever you call it, association. And the Twin Cities agents, commercial focus, came together. Started, it was originally with, I think, Xceligent, and then did Xceligent go kaput?
Yes.
Is that the company that went kaput? So then
yes.
now they're with Catalyst. Mm-hmm. I think that's it. So we list our properties on there, and I pay to list our properties on there. And the thing I like about it is that's where the Twin Cities agents are kind of starting their search, and they recognize Rochester as a submarket, and we have our listings out there.
So if you were to get a spread of like inbound leads from, like, there's going to be two types of inbound leads. There's going to be the commercial real estate or people in real estate, so agents, and then there's going to be end users, right? Let's start with like agents. Like, which listing service, MNCAR, the North Star, the Crexy, and LoopNet, like, where would it break down? Like, the which one has like the majority of agent like inquiries that you get for your listings?
Agents would be MLS because it's a residential agent looking to commercial, or it would be MNCAR because it's a Twin Cities agent that's working with a client coming to the south, to Rochester, Minnesota. Clients, leads would be LoopNet, and I view social media as a listing channel, and people need to recognize it as such. You can list your properties on there, put the details, and people can find them. And I would say that is number two as far as inbound, well over Crexy, well over any other form. Mm-hmm. So social media for sure leads, yep, to inquiries.
And do you think the reason why social media works for you, like above, like a well-funded real estate, let's say listing service, is it because of your following, or can somebody do a cold start today and start marketing their properties and they're going to have the same amount or they're going to have similar results to what you're getting marketing your properties on there?
I think if they understand ad spend, they could possibly figure out to build a way of having inbound leads more than what I have done. You know, it is my following that generates it, word of mouth, and just consistently putting out content that gets people intrigued. And so that would be my way of doing it. But I do think, and residential agents have figured it out, and some commercial, but none that have really talked about it, of how to put out listings that lead to leads at a bigger quantity or mass quantity than what some of these listing services may provide.
Yeah. Okay, cool. No, that's great information. So that really gives me, that's to learning information for us. So what was your question?
So one of the things I would say, like on the wish list, like if I could go onto a listing channel and also check, and Build Out has been providing this as far as pushing out to one place, and you know, they charge a lot for that service, but that is nice. But I would take it the next level and say, could we have it where I can pull ads on these social media platforms by the click of a button that would place it? And you, because it's real estate in a protected class, you can't do a lot of the ads
targeting.
You can targeting with other products, mm-hmm. but even areas, which makes, I would say, the seamlessness of whoever's doing that on the back end easier. That'd be great. Like, so I go on to Digzy, I list my listing, and then there's a checkbox. Do you want to do $100 towards Facebook that will go around 100 miles of your area? You know, yeah. Do you want to do $20 on Instagram? Like, I think that would be something that would be surprisingly lead to a lot of results for people that are listing. Because let's be honest, commercial agents don't want to figure out how to pull ads on these social media platforms. As much as I would advocate for it, and I think it can lead to building business, it's kind of the same thing. They don't want to learn social media. So,
yeah. I have a funny story about that, and it's I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised about what I'm going to show you.
Awesome. So yeah, that would be one of the wish list items. Another wish list item would be, and I like the MLS, but I don't understand why these other listing platforms haven't started. And I would say Crexy, from what I'm told, is starting to incorporate it more. But these forms are a huge driver of our business. Mm-hmm. What I like about the MLS is, you can pick a property that you're writing up a contract for. Within that listing on the back end, you can click forms. When I go to the form dashboard, it's already pre-filled out. Legal description, address, the listing agent, and my forms are halfway done. And so yeah. It's like, how do we incorporate that into these listing services? Because the easier you make it to do my job, the more time I'm going to spend on that listing platform.
Right.
It's the same thing with the taxes. Like, you know, you click on, you're on the property. There's several choices on the MLS. One of them is the tax data sheet. It pulls up sales history, square footage, tax assessed, boom, all right there. I'm not relying on the agent's information anymore. I'm relying on the source, the county, of what some of these data points are that are really important for me.
So you mentioned ads, right? So what about organic social media marketing on, like you said, hey, ads is something that's of value, but then what about organic? Because a lot of these systems, like a lot of the usual suspects, have share to Facebook, share to this. Like, is that attractive to you, or is there something missing that?
What would be attractive to me is, I'm a power user of stories, and so being able to share directly to stories from a listing, or Instagram from a listing. When I get the share button from these listing services, from what I've seen, when it pops up on my computer, and I'd love to do it from my phone, and it's not as seamless. So when it pops up on my computer, like, it just doesn't look good. And I would rather be doing it natively in Facebook, because I know the end result of what's going to get posted is going to look how I anticipate it to look. where when I get it on a listing service, it's kind of like, is this actually going to look good, or is this going to be like one of those mess up posts that right. I thought the share button would work, but it really didn't.
Got it. Got it. Yeah. So, us, you know, we're a newer entrant, as you may know. A lot of people started using Digzy. Simply, we started in California. Now, you know, everybody throughout the U.S. starts listing on it. The thing that's different about Digzy is the fact that we're very, very focused on reaching the end user, meaning a tenant or an owner user who's looking to buy a property or an investor, right? So as opposed to coming on Digzy, we do market our properties to brokers, but that's the brokers aren't living in our platform. What we want to do and what we're really focused is when somebody's searching for office space for rent, Rochester, right? Or office space for rent, Irvine, et cetera, that we show up on the first page of Google organically. And in many markets, we're like right next to the, you know, the top dogs. In some instances where we've done really great, we're above the top dogs on the search results. So that allows us 98% of our traffic. And, you know, we're growing every month. You can hear, we're in COVID style, so you can hear the dogs in the background. 98% of the people who visit Digzy are actually these individuals, the end users. So the tenants, business owners, restaurateurs, investors, you know, warehouses. We do office, warehouse, retail, multifamily, all that stuff right now. We took down multifamily. It's actually coming back in the next week or so. We're making some adjustments to it. So basically is if the way that you use Digzy is if you want to advertise your properties to an end user. So like I want to reach a direct buyer or I want to reach a direct tenant so I can generate more deals or I can flip that tenant or buyer into my representation services. That's what we fulfill. A lot of the other platforms, right, like you were mentioning, like the MLS, right? A lot of the calls, a consumer doesn't have access to the MLS, period. So it's not like you're going to get a call from the guy who owns the insurance company with 20 people down the street, right? But you might get the...
What they do have is the IDX feed, which is powerful to where I can take everyone's listing that has checked the box and make it look like my listing. If you look at the fine print, it says this is exclusively marketed by Edina Realty. So that's the one unique thing that they provide that leads to leads, not necessarily for me personally, but for other people that then leads to them bringing them to my listing.
Yeah, so there's no IDX feed in commercial real estate, right? So what we've done is we actually give you the ability, and it's not something we market very hard right now because we're fine-tuning it. But let's say, for example, you wanted to show all of your listings and all the listings in Rochester on your website. We have this little, we can actually embed that. And when people look at your listings, it'll give credit to the listing broker, but you can actually, you know, any lead that comes through there, it'll actually go to you. Right? So we have that. That's one thing that, and I can show you some examples on how that's being done. So it's a great way to market other people's listings, but at the same time, you generate leads from it. Whenever somebody unlocks information on your property, so I don't know if you know this, but only about 1.2 to 1.5%. You can look at all the public numbers that you have across all the major listing services. Let's say we have this much traffic and this many leads. Only about 1.2 to 1.5% of the people who view your listing actually convert into a lead. That means that somebody inquires in your listing. So the conversion rate's really, really low. So what we do is we make sure that we're able to increase that conversion rate so that you know who's in the market. So we go from like 3 all the way up to 9%. So 2 to 3 to 4x more. And the way that we do that is by default, a lot of this stuff is people have to unlock information, so they have to create a free account. And then when somebody views your listing or somebody unlocks your brochure, pricing, et cetera, we send you that lead so that you can reach out to them. So that's another thing too that's different. So we're really, really focused on taking your listings, putting them in front of an audience that's not a commercial real estate professional and allow you to find that person and not be at the mercy of only getting one lead for every 100 people that view your listing, but taking that to get 2, 3, 4 leads from that. So that's where we're different on that end. But really what we're doing is we're just basically building a search engine for the consumer and doing that and really focusing on SEO, digital marketing, et cetera, which we've done really, really well at. And being able to put you guys in touch directly with the end user. And then there's going to be, you know, some brokers want to deal with the end user. Some brokers don't want to deal with the end user because you kind of take the good with the bad, right? Some large listing teams, like at CBRE, 90% of the transactions they do is with brokers, right? So there's a segment in the market, like maybe Bucky wants to be in touch with the end user because if that property doesn't work that you have listed, you can actually rep them into another deal. So that's pretty much it with Digzy. You can also send email blasts to not only people in the community, in the brokerage community through Digzy. You just place a request right now to whoever your rep is at Digzy, and then they'll send an email blast to a massive list of, you know, brokers, etc. The other thing too is we track everything that a person's doing on our website. So if you haven't created an account, the moment you hit our website, we grab your IP address. And then we see that you ran a search for 3,000 to 5,000 or 10,000 to 15,000 square feet of industrial in, like, let's say Irvine, California, right? So we have that recorded against the database. As they go, because we know that, you know, one and a half only, you know, when they view 100 listings, they're finally going to convert into a lead. So we try to entice them to create a free account, so we have name, email address, phone number sooner. And then what happens is as they come back or they run different searches, we start stacking and basically merging to complete a picture of what the person is looking for. So, like, let's say Bucky comes in, we don't know it's Bucky, we had their IP address, you're searching for 5 to 10,000 square feet of industrial in Irvine. Then you start clicking on the sidebar and you're considering Tustin, and the property is, you know, 16,000 feet. So now we actually go, you know, 5,000 to 13,000 feet, Irvine and Tustin. And we have this whole picture. So what happens the next day is, this doesn't happen with free listings, but what happens the next day is that the system looks at everybody that says, okay, who is a premium lister and who is looking for this within those cities and a radius. So we have a buffer radius. And then it sends them a message the next day going, hey, these are some properties that you may have missed that you may want to look at. And then that generates a lot of interest and inquiries for the listers. So it's a lot more of a sophisticated technology. Well, at the same time, when you go into Digzy, it looks very, you know, Fisher Price, like it's simple, but a lot of the things that we do are simply because of that. Cause, you know, as commercial real estate professionals, you don't really want to deal with technology. What you want, you just want the product. The product is a qualified lead that I can close a deal with.
Yes, I agree. Mm-hmm. 100%.
Yeah, so we do that. And then our team also works behind the scenes with, like, you know, premium users, like we're doing digital marketing and things like that. So I'll give you an example. Remember how you were saying, hey, we'd love to have, like, I can allocate this much money to ad spend? Yeah. So we haven't been doing that. So please, guys, if you're interested in this, email or contact us, but we are not doing this for everybody right now. We're working out the kinks. So you want to know a very underutilized keyword in commercial real estate. Like, agents always want business, right? So if you go bid on, like, office space for rent, office space for lease, or office space for sale, or commercial real estate for sale, you're paying like $5, $10, $20, $30 per click, right? Mm-hmm. But people who you want are also people who are actively looking for commercial real estate. So the word commercial real estate broker, commercial real estate agent, it has 2,000 searches a month. And that's, keep in mind, like, they don't know exactly, so they actually buffer it down. It's probably a lot more. So remember we told you we have, you can pay like 30 cents, a dollar for that. So kind of like Gary V days of the wine keyword. So one thing that we did was we have these broker pages that we don't advertise. So we have a broker page. So it'll say Bucky Beeman. It'll have a quick description, your contact information. And below it has, people can search all of the listings, including all your listings on Digzy and all the listings on the market. And what we do is basically, it's kind of like it's almost like a mini web page with like a listing search, and they can read your bio at the bottom. And what we do is we direct traffic straight to that page. So, hey, everybody who's searching for commercial real estate broker or agent or whatever combination in Rochester, Minnesota, and this county and this adjacent county, you know, we target traffic to that. So then it shows up as an ad saying best commercial real estate broker, Bucky Beeman, et cetera, in the meta description. So, like, the additional information you get below the main link. And then you get all these people coming in and people start reading your bio, searching for that, and they can also look at listings. And that's something that we've been doing with kind of like our quote unquote informal IDX feed. And at the same time, creating these kind of like broker pages for individual agents that want to grab that. And that's been interestingly successful for our customers, because you're basically just grabbing that person and promoting them on SEO, on search engine ads and social media ads.
See, and that's where I think there's so much power that agents don't ever unlock, because it's just not in their DNA. Now, those that have marketing teams, they do it. And I think they find ways to, you know, feed the funnel and, you know, find ways to use the internet at different levels than other people. I just wonder how we can unlock that in that example for other agents, because I think it is some secret sauce that people don't know what they're missing until they get into it.
Yeah, you know what we should do, Bucky, since you have like a small thing, like we should just talk offline and let's just run a test with you and just see kind of what needs to be tweaked and all that. I think it'll be a really fun project.
Yeah, that'd be cool. You know, I think some of the gripes that you often hear is just the cost and like the cost versus the return. And we're finding ways as a firm to lower our costs for listing services. One, because we're in a smaller market. And so we feel as though through social media, especially, and becoming a local leader in our field as a team, that our resources and dollars can be put to work in that area. That leads to better business than these cold leads that we've never met the people. And don't get me wrong, it's turned into stuff. But that's where the cost really is a concern. I think some of the other gripes are the turnover on the listing analysis side, the whatever they call you, the account managers. Like, so you'll be talking to John one day, who's your guy, and then next thing you know, and I hear this from our office admin, where it's like, now it's Lucy, and now Lucy's gone, and now it's Sam. And it's like, well, gosh, like we're just getting in the rhythm of things. And it's funny how that's another issue. And then I would say another gripe is just like, there's so much listing services, and that's just frustrating for us as agents of, and I get it, the whole monopoly thing. We don't want it to just be one that controls the whole market, but when you get all of these newer listing services that are trying to earn our business, I mean, when you get that call, it's like, hey, we're the new guys in town. We want to take all your listings for free and we'll have some. It's like, please stop calling me. You could offer me a lot of money right now, and I don't know that it's worth the return of the time that I would put into learning your system. And so I think that's another just consistent issue that continually pops up. And I would say another one is these tools are so freaking computer based and not mobile based. Like, come on, people, like we need to be here. And so the easier we can access your platform here, the more I'm going to use it, because this whole computer based is, I need to be out in the field. I don't need to be, you know, married to my computer all day long. I already got enough issues there with my emails. Don't make me have to come to my computer and go through all your stuff. And so it's like, the more mobile friendly these listing services can become, I feel that the more they will be utilized as a broker.
Is there a pain point? Like you mentioned a lot of things that I felt like when I was a broker. I mean, even today, I mean, even think without like, how many companies have been either bought out or not made money or sold for very pennies on the dollar, right? And there's so many free listing services out there. And a lot of people, like, we can name so many of them. We can name, you know, in addition to LoopNet, you've got Showcase and all the other CoStar products. You also have 42 Floors, OfficeSpace.com, Rofo, you've got Commercial Cafe. What else do you have? And you didn't even mention all these people, right?
And like when you start mentioning all those, I just like stop and I'm like, I don't even want to know about them. Like they could give me one lead and I don't want to know about them right now, because I would dump all my eggs into the social media basket. Like the energy, the time, the listing time that it takes to fill out all the data. Like if you put that into a post and you can build up a following, you'll get a lot more return. And not to mention, it lives on, not to mention people can add comments, not to mention people can share it. Like, you go into Loop now, like, it's there and it's gone one day, and that's it. And then that's, life is done, unless you pay for CoStar. And yeah, you can use it as a data point, but it's like, never leads to, oh my gosh, social media is so powerful. And that's where I would sink your time as an agent, because I know in my heart, you will see more of a return with, if you are the one listing and you ever fill out an MLS form and the amount of time it takes you to do it, if you would have sunk that time into a social media post, like, I think your return can be a lot higher in the time you would have spent on social media than filling out that form and hoping that a residential agent will bring a lead to your commercial listing.
Is there a pain point where, like, what, like, is there a pain point where you're getting, you know, leads from LoopNet, the MLS, et cetera? Like, what do you do with that data? Is it, like, not a pain point? Like, because there's our leads.
No, for me as a small agent, there is no data. So when people talk about, like, they're keeping track of their leads and they're putting it in the CRM, like, I am not that guy. So it all needs to come to my email if you want me to actually follow up with it. And then from there, hell yeah, there's pain points. Like, you're getting text messages, you're getting phone calls, you're getting voicemails, you're getting, so leads come from any place. For me, I have to get it to my email, and then I just manage it through there. And then I label it accordingly in my email, and then I go back and try to follow up with those individuals. And that's just how I roll. And you guys can try to sell me on CRMs all day long. I don't adapt.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. A lot, we did a survey, and we should probably do another one. This was like about 3 years ago. And you want to know what the number one CRM that people use was?
Email.
Outlook.
Yep, exactly. Yep.
Yeah. And then it was like 1%, like less than 1% Salesforce. And all, like, people just don't like using CRM. I mean, it sounds like a great thing, but it's just your CRM's over here and then your email's over here. So it's almost like your email is like your CRM per se. So makes sense.
Yep.
What about, when we're talking about these pain points of things coming in into your email, what email, I'm sure people are going to be curious, like, what email system you use or program?
I'm the worst to ask any of those.
That's okay. We want to know. I mean, you're a rock star in your market. So people want to know.
Yeah. I use Apple Mail, and I do it the worst way. I go from top to bottom. What's newest? I work my way down and I live in my email. So there's no program. There's no fine, like, I'm not good at that.
And that's okay. That's okay.
It's called an office. It's called an assistant. And that's what I'm working on.
So on, when you were mentioning the that you label them accordingly, what does that mean exactly?
Red, yellow, or green flags. And I say that in confidence, like, I do it consistently. And the truth is, hell no, I don't do it hardly at all. I do it. Red is like, okay, I got to get back to that one. And then eventually I'll get back to it, but there's not a certain timing to it, you know?
Okay. And on your phone, you're using Apple Mail as well?
Yep.
Okay, cool.
And I love that. I mean, that's all these functions of, like, you delete it here, it deletes there. Everybody's doing that nowadays. Mm-hmm. That helped me stay on top of it, for sure.
Right. That makes sense. All right, dude, do you think we need to mention anything else on this episode?
It's not going to stop as far as these listing services being very valuable to our business. I think we just have to find ways to not give our entire marketing budgets, if you will, or majority of our marketing budgets to them, because they are not, for the most part, and I'm saying this with you on the line, Andrew, they are not looking out for the interests of you as an individual, right? They're looking out for their business, and they're looking out for how they can continually grow and accomplish the goals they want to accomplish. And so that's where I would say you need to find ways to diversify your marketing and your efforts of getting your listing sold to other platforms that you have more control of. And the platforms that are at hand currently are Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn, that you as an individual have more control of, from what you want it to say, how you want it to look, how long you want it to live out there, how it can be shared. And you don't have to fit everything into the boxes that the fields that they give you. So that would just be my recommendation to anybody that's new in the business, that's looking at spending more money on these listing platforms, like, find ways to diversify your marketing efforts and view social media, view the internet outside of these listing platforms as listing services.
You know, there's an interesting thing that, before we wrap up, we should probably touch on. So we hear a lot of this complaint in commercial real estate, but we rarely hear this complaint in residential. Like, what has the MLS done different versus commercial, where we get a lot of these complaints where you get a lot of brokers saying they're taking all my data and reselling it back to me, right? So what's the difference? Like, why has the MLS been an effective tool for people in residential, and why hasn't the listing services done a good job in commercial?
I think it comes down to the simple analogy of value and return. I think the MLS is providing more value to agents, to where, don't get me wrong, there's going to be issues, and you can have those that say we don't need it. But truthfully, I think residential agents are selling more houses and adding more to their bottom line because of the MLS existing versus it not existing. And they view the enemy as Zillow for the fact that they're losing control of the listing service due to this big data technology company taking it and doing what they want in their interest and with the consumer's attention. So I think the MLS just has provided much more value to the residential agents as a whole, to where now as they see things migrated, the consumer's attention migrate to Zillow, they're like trying to figure out how the MLS can keep control in their markets.
Right. Why? But there's usually just like one or two MLSs in a market, right? I've never seen like three or four. But like, why? Let's break down the value so like people understand why. What value have they provided?
You put your listing on there, and it freaking sells, and that's the value. Like, I mean, okay, yes, there's listing forms and there's these tax and access to data, but that's the value. Is I put my listing on there and it sells, and the amount of money that I had to pay to put my listings on there and the tools that it came along with way outweigh the cost overall. I get a lockbox. The lockbox goes on. I can tell who's going in and out. It directly feeds to my seller. My seller gets an update. The list goes on. There's just way more value, and I'm selling more than the amount of money that I'm going in. And if I'm putting in the fees and not getting that return, honestly, I probably shouldn't be in the business because I'm doing something wrong.
Yeah, and you're just not getting that from the commercial side.
No, right. You're getting a website that you can put the listing on that is available as long as you're willing to pay for it, and then eventually it's gone, and that's it. And that's it.
But that's technically the same thing on the MLS, though, right?
Because Hell no. Well, Andrew, listen to me. I put a listing on the MLS, right? When I do so, all of the residential agents, if they're subscribed or if their consumer is subscribed, get an email of that listing going on. If not, it goes into a very easy to navigate database for all those residential agents for them to find to share with their clients. I also get the ability to hook up very seamlessly a eKey Bluetooth lockbox to my listing that any realtor in the state of Minnesota can send me a note to my phone through a tool that they can have access, and I can provide or deny permission to go in. And then I can set it up in a way that it can provide the feedback that agent leaves directly to my consumer, eliminating all these steps of the back and forth. Did someone look at it? What's the update? Mm-hmm. On top of that, there's a list of many more. I talk simply about the forms. Like the forms, I click on the button when I'm ready to write up a contract. It's 50% of the way done. I then fill out the rest of it, and I'm off and sailing. I send it for digital signature. I include on that digital signature side of things the closing agent, the office admin, everybody's included. Like, it all started at the center of the MLS.
Yeah. And
when I list on a website like a LoopNet, I list it, and then eventually I sell it, and it's done. And that's it. Like, yeah, I can do an email blast. I can do an email blast without your stupid little plugin. Stop it. Like,
So there's a lot of value that is actually not on the table. And why do you think that, like, even though we have so many people on there, it seems like, is it those missing tools? But it seems like the MLS, when you listen to the MLS, you can actually go into the IDX feed and go into Zillow, everything else, and other people's websites and things like that. Like, is there
build out? You're right. I didn't even hit on that. But yes, it's the build out of the residential industry. They figured it out first. They said, you list on here and it will go to thousands of websites without you having to lift a thumb. Mm-hmm. Where I list on LoopNet and then I got to go list on Craigslist or call somebody that's supposedly going to pull the data. Like, yeah, they figured that piece out, which led to more listing selling, which led to more money in my pocketbook, which led to me doing more. And so, yes, that 100%. Other things, the back to the lockbox deal, the appraisers get access to that lockbox if they pay. The inspectors get access to that lockbox if they pay. Like, it eliminates so much friction in the transaction process for an agent and a consumer that it's, as a residential agent, how can you not? Like, it is well worth the return.
How much you guys pay for that?
I don't know off the top of my head.
Yeah. But is it as much as like the commercial? Like,
cover all listing services marketing costs. So.
Awesome, Bucky. This has been great. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you, Andrew. Thanks for letting me.
Yeah, man. All right, everyone. That was Bucky Beeman. And you can see how passionate he is. Somebody needs to go out there and build this out. We'll talk offline of a few things, Bucky. And if you like this episode, please make sure on whatever platform you're on to like it, reshare it. If you're on YouTube, hit the like button and subscribe. We have content coming out every week. And with that being said, Bucky, amazing feedback. Thank you.
Hey, thank you. We'll see you next week.
Thanks, man.